that about me, but I do. And I therefore really love this time of year because there is lots of chocolate to be had. I love that we get chocolate eggs at Easter. I love the unwrapping of that paper, the sparkly paper, and having this huge lump of chocolate that's just mine that I can gorge on. I love going hunting for little eggs. You have a whole basket of these beautifully colored eggs that you can unwrap and just enjoy the chocolate. I really, really love chocolate. But I actually felt a little bit overwhelmed this year because I went to the supermarket, any supermarket you can think of, and I went down the seasonal aisle and I saw all the eggs and I thought, my goodness, it's not enough just to have a chocolate egg anymore. They have to be really fancy. They have to be a mixture of all sorts of flavors. They have to be different shapes. They just have got really, really complicated and more excessive and more fancy. And I just thought, oh, that's, I wonder if we have a tendency to do that with Easter and with our faith in general. It was a moment of epiphany that I just wanted to share with you, and we'll go a little bit deeper with it. So the chocolate egg, invented by Mr. Cadbury, actually it was invented earlier than that, but Mr. Cadbury brought out the first sort of mass-produced chocolate egg, 1875. It's actually fairly recent as a tradition, but it wasn't created to remember Easter. But it is an amazing multi-sensory way of telling the Easter story. I have some examples here. Do I have three people who would be willing to help me with this visual aid? I mean, if I say you're not allowed to eat the chocolate, does that change? No, I'm joking. Okay. If everyone is allowed milk chocolate, do one of you guys want to come? Don't worry, you're not going to miss out if you don't have this one. Yes, one of you, two, or both of you come then. And okay, you can do this together. Why don't all three of you come and you can do it together? Between the three of you. Okay, now you have to listen to me on this one, okay? So don't do it too fast. If you guys want to share one, and then Patina, if you want to share one, so you've got two between the three of you there. Okay, so with this egg, when you have it, before you even open it, you can use your sense of touch. You can roll it around and you can remember the stone that was rolled in front of Jesus's tomb, okay? So this is the shape of the stone that was rolled in front of Jesus's tomb. Okay, now, so that's your sense of touch. Right, now you get to unwrap it and crack it, okay? See if you how loud you can make the crack. Oh, that one's already cracked. Quick, pick up the chocolate before it gets stamped into the carpet. Shh, listen, let's see. Oh, that, I heard a crack. Okay, the crack, you can remember the sound of the earthquake, not yet. This is really hard. You can do it. You can do it, Albert. Okay, you can hear the crack. It reminds you of the earthquake that happened when Jesus died. The stones cracked. It was a dramatic moment as Jesus died. Okay, now look inside your egg. Is there anything in there?
No.
Was it bits of the chocolate that fell in? Was there anything before?
No.
There's nothing in it, is it? There is nothing in the egg. The idea is that they're hollow because the tomb was empty. Jojo read for us. He is not here. He is risen. Yes. He read it for us brilliantly. He is not here. He is risen. The tomb was empty. So you can see that the tomb is empty. Now you get to smell it. Oh, that smells so good, doesn't it? Okay, now you get to taste it. And then they all get to watch you tasting it going, their mouths just salivating. Does it taste good? Does it taste good? So the smell and the taste is to remind us of the joy of Easter, right? So all of these things, every time you get an Easter egg that is hollow like this, it is to remind you of that whole of that Easter story. Now, I am going to talk a little bit more about the Easter story, but you know I like to give you something to do whilst I do that. If you want to go and do something else, you're welcome to stay and listen to me, but if you need to go and do something else, anyone else out there who needs to get up at this point, there are lots more of these eggs hidden outside in the garden. If I give you a basket, do you think you can go and find me? I think Lucy, there are about 30, maybe 26 or something, because we've just opened four.
Yeah.
Okay, so you need to, I will be counting them. You need to bring them all back. And then we're going to share them out. Okay. If anyone could, Andy, could you open the door for them, please? And they can go out that way. Right, guys, go, hunt eggs. Bring them all back. Okay, so I was saying that is like a really simple multi-sensory way of telling the Easter story, right? Using all our senses, and we understand it with these eggs. But we no longer have the simple Cadbury's egg that's on there. Tatiana, can we look at the other screen? This is just an example of what we have on the shelves now. I bought some too. Okay, this is when I started getting really overwhelmed. This is an exploding candy chocolate orange egg. This one is a Belgian honeycomb corn crunch egg. I mean, what's the corn? I don't really get it. They're all really complicated. No longer is it the simple story of the egg and that looks like a tomb. In fact, this one I had to get out because this one isn't even like stone shaped. This is some weird, fancy, swirly one. We've made everything really, really complicated, but the simple truth of Easter remains regardless of what kind of complicated egg you have. The simple truth is, it was empty. The tomb was empty. I'm really going to have to sweep that up now. That wasn't meant to be quite so dramatic. But hey, this is the simple, simple truth. Jesus was not in the tomb because Jesus was alive again. In order for Jesus to be alive again, Jesus had to have more power than a normal man had. Jesus had to have been God, just as he said he was. That's the only explanation for a man coming back to life in the way that we celebrate on Easter. It is that simple truth. Jesus had to say who he said he was. He said, "I and the Father am one." And this is all that we need to believe in order to call ourselves Christians. There is nothing more complicated. It is a simple recognition that Jesus is the Son of God and rose again. Remember the thief on the cross with Jesus? He went through no complicated catechism. He had no believer's prayer. He just said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." In a humble way, he acknowledged that Jesus had a kingdom to come to. He acknowledged that he was a king. And he just asked to be remembered. And what did Jesus say? "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." He was accepted. His simple prayer was enough to be accepted. He didn't have to go through many hoops and jumps. And you could argue, did he really believe and understand what he was saying? You could argue he didn't. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Maybe he didn't understand what that kingdom looked like. It didn't matter. Jesus met him where he was. Jesus recognized the position of his heart and responded. It was that simple. Sometimes we just make things complicated. But that story of the thief on the cross is one of my favorites because it makes it simple. And yes, unlike the man on the cross, we do have to then respond in life and work out how on earth to live with this acknowledgement and understanding. But, and at that point, that might be where different flavors of chocolate and church work for you. But it is that simple in that acknowledgement. Thank you so much, guys. I promise I'll share these out in a minute, but go sit down for the moment. Yes, I know, I smashed it. I'll pick it up in a minute, Albert, I promise. I promise that my prayer for you guys today is that you would be able to simply say, "Jesus, I believe that you were the Son of God. That is why the tomb was empty, because you were God." That is enough. There needs to be no more. The rest of the time that we gather, each day, each week, we can work out the doubts. Yes, like the women at the tomb, we might be trembling and we might be bewildered occasionally in life. I'm not saying that knowing that Jesus is God is the answer to everything and suddenly makes life easy. Far from it. Jesus rose from the dead. He had conquered. His kingdom had begun, but it is not here in full yet. We know that there are still struggles in life, but it has begun. We know that Jesus' power is stronger than death. The kingdom has begun here, and we can live it out each day. We can be thankful each day that that power is available to us if we just acknowledge who Jesus was. And that power can give us the strength each day to get up, to find compassion to share with others, to get up and find patience to be with others who we find difficult to be with. We can get up and we can find ways to fight injustice in the world again and again through that power of the risen life. We can get up and find ways to simply sit with people in their pain, because faith, hope, and love are stronger than death. This is what the empty tomb proves to us. They are stronger than all the darkness that can be in the world. And every day we can call on that, because of the simple fact the tomb was empty. He is not here. He is risen. He needed to be more than a man for that to happen. So I pray today that you would find that simple truth, that simple understanding of being able to say to Jesus, yes, I believe. And then we'll work out as a church. That's why we're put together. We'll work out as a church how on earth that looks each day from now on. We'll spend time praying together, worshipping together, reading the Bible together, talking together. That's how we work out how to live with that truth. But there is no hierarchy in Christianity. There are no good Christians, better Christians, outstanding Christians. There are just people who say, yes, Jesus, you are the Son of God. I want to have you in my life. The rest is just us working it out together. So I pray today that would be your prayer, that you would once more come to the table and just kneel at Jesus' feet and say, yes. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Amen.